3, I want to preach to you tonight, if the Lord will help me. I try not to preach long. Glad to see everyone here. Glad to see Brother Kendall and them home this week, and be leaving out again toward the end of the week or the first part of next week. And glad to see them here. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 33, verse 12, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people. Thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me, yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou also hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim my name, proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. One very, very familiar scripture I want to turn to before I preach tonight, found in your Bible in the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5, I believe it's verse number 6, where he said, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. May the Lord help me preach here tonight. I want to preach just a little while on, Lord, show me your glory. Will you stand with me all over this house and ask the Lord to help us tonight? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. We honor you. We love you. I ask you to touch me and to help me. Use us tonight for the glory of God, we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for what you're able to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the church said amen. You may be seated. I'm preaching to you tonight from this very 18th verse of the 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus, where he said, And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I believe you can agree with me in the hour that you and I live in, if there's ever been a time that we need to see the glory of God, it's in this hour in which we live. It seems to me that so many has took prey unto the same spirit that had fell after Ephraim, when the Bible declares unto us and tells us that the prophet Hosea prophesied concerning the nature and the backsliding of Ephraim. And he told, and he said, Ephraim, he said, thy glory is as the morning cloud, but when the sun rises, he said, the dew is gone. It's the simple fact that we understand that we got people who love to worship, but they don't love to see the real glory and the power of God.
For when a man sees the glory and the power of God, he sees himself in such a light that he humbles himself and he realizes, without God, I can do nothing. I want you to understand, above all and in all, that Moses declared here when he said, Lord, if you don't go with us, he said, take us up mountains. Don't let us go another day. Don't let us go another hour without you. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the entire church, if the people of God, when they woke up in the morning, they declared and said, Lord, I'm not going to preach unless you preach through me. I'm not going to sing unless you sing through me. I'm not going to live another day until the glory and the power of God has rested upon us. Hallelujah. You hear me tonight? There is something missing. I'm going to take my time and deal with it here. There is something missing in among us. And that is the glory and the power of God. There is something that is absent out of our worship. That's absent out of our preaching. We have become more skilled. And we become more learned how to study, how to get it together. But there is something missing. And that is the glory and the power of God. It is the presence of the Lord that makes a difference. And Moses knew what he meant when he said, unless you go with us, we'll be destroyed, we'll be scattered abroad. But if the glory of God is upon us, the enemies are scared of us, the devil don't want to fight us, because God is with his people. There comes a day when you're not satisfied with the cloud anymore. There comes a day when you're not satisfied with the pillar of fire anymore. There comes a day when you realize, if you don't go, I ain't a going. If you don't help me, I can't get over it. Come on, hear me tonight. Moses said, Lord, if you'll study your Bible, you'll find it in the very previous chapter. It was Moses on Mount Sinai. He was getting the commandments of the Lord. And he was telling the Lord all about the deed of the law. And the Lord was writing them on the tablets. But when they come down out of that mountain, he saw the people and messed themselves up under idol worship. And he destroyed them. And he went up pleading with God. He said, brought out their iniquity. And if you don't put out their iniquity, don't put me with anything else. I'll die with them. Are you hearing me? When you get hungry for God, you'll lay it all on the line. You will lay it all down when you're hungry for God. But when there is an absence of the presence of God, there is a showmanship that takes the place of the glory. Oh, stay with me just a minute. We preach more for the pat on the back. We preach more to what the cloud thinks about us than what the glory thinks about us. Come on here. It's whether they thought I did a good job or not, or whether they thought I can make it or not, instead of whether God thinks I can make it or not. I want to tell you, sir, I want to tell you, ma'am, in this house, when Moses went to prayer, he realized, he knew, he said, if God's with us, we can subdue the enemy, we can overcome the power of every nation that's around us. Are you hearing me tonight? But when the glory's gone, there is no victory, there is no power. I say, let it return. Let the glory come back. Let the light of the countenance of the Spirit of God rest on us again. Sin is always a power that snuffs out the light.
when there is no glory. There is no light to see where sin is. Hang into your seat there just a minute. When there is no glory, we see nothing to fight for. Nothing to hunger after. But Moses reached a place one day. I'm thankful for the cloud. I'm thankful for what the cloud's able to do. But there's something missing out of that cloud. There's something missing out of that pillar of fire. I want to tell you something, sir. It was grateful for the cloud. It was grateful for the pillar of fire. But there was something he said, God, if you don't go with us, then it's not going to happen. It ain't going to take place. I wish I could get this conveyed thought across to your mind. It can't go no further if God don't go with you. I often wondered of people, 3.5 million people that could subdue cities and destroy strongholds. But when they sinned, they were just weak as the next man. I said, preacher, what do you mean by that? Anybody ever had any condemnation in your life? That you felt like, I've just done something I shouldn't have done? I just said something I shouldn't have said? I just acted in the way I shouldn't have acted? But just prior to that, I felt like I could rip down hell. I could just stack a door open in the gates of hell and just pull souls out of the fire. But when that condemnation's there, I feel like I'm guilty. I feel like I'm hung. I can't pray. I can't shout. I'm telling you, sir, when the glory of God's on a man, he's invincible. He can't be destroyed. That's what Moses was worried about. He said, I'll be destroyed. The people will be destroyed unless we see the glory of God. To some people, the glory of God is just a shout. Some people, it's just an atmosphere. To some people, it's their dress. To some, it's what they can do in church. But to those that are right, it's what they do to the enemy. He knew that if I'm going to come against the devil, I'm going to combat against the powers of hell. I can't do it by Moses. I must have the glory of God about me. Oh, I wish I'd preach how I feel. My voice is closed up on me tonight. But you hear me well in this building. It's in that back desert of keeping Jethro's flock. When he's out there alone by himself, he wasn't aware of it. He's running from his love for his life. He killed an Egyptian, buried him in the sand. And his brethren saw him. Fear for his life, he takes off. He's in the back desert. He's keeping sheep. And one day, all of a sudden, there's a bush on fire. In Exodus chapter 2, if I'm not mistaken, a bush catches on fire. And when it catches on fire, Moses turns and he said, I'll see what this thing is. And the Bible said it pleased the Lord that he would inquire of it. Now don't leave me all at once. I know you're not going to jump to this tonight. But when you can get interested in the glory of God, you'll turn your face from the world and turn your face toward God. You hearing me? I'm telling you, it's no more of who I can get with or who can get with me or how much I can get by with it. You're going to turn your face to that glory and you're going to say, I got to be a part of that. I got to have something to do with that. If I don't have nothing to do with that, ain't no sense in living. I want to just preach how I feel here. What's the sense of us coming to church if we don't get a hold of the glory of God? Sitting there looking pious. I got it together, preacher. Do you really? But then show me the glory. Let me see the glory that radiates out of your life. Moses turned. This is what I love. Moses turned. When he saw that bush on fire, Brother Ed, he wasn't the same man after he saw the bush. Oh, I've seen some folks come to church, Brother Brent. They shouted the high heels off. They slung bobby pins everywhere they could sling them. Come Monday morning, they still hate their neighbor. They still don't have love in their heart. And they're going right back to the same attitude, the same disposition. They don't know whether they got victory or not. This is what my mind thinks. This is what I see in the Word of God. Are you hearing me? I just about concealed Moses as he comes away from that burning bush. The Bible declared that his hair was white as snow. His countenance was on fire. I tell you what he did. He walked past the sheep. He walked straight up to Jethro. And he said, I'm out of here. I just saw God. And God visited me. And God gave me a commandment. I'm here to tell you, sir, when you see the glory of God, it's goodbye world. Hello, heaven. I'm in the cosmos of a higher. I'm in the center of God's will. I want to live where the glory is. I love this. I know how to preach it. Somewhere in that time that God showed himself to Moses in that burning bush, Brother Mickey, he forgot that he killed an Egyptian. Somewhere or another, he forgot I was a man on a run. Why? The glory did it. The glory made the difference. When he saw, oh God, I wish I could preach how I feel. Heard some of you men standing on this platform. You're saying, that's right, you're saying amen. But I'm afraid that you're not as interested in the glory on tomorrow as you are talking about a better way out than the way of God. Hey, come on, stand up. You're not interested in the glory of God when you can look back over your life and say, I could sell drugs and make more money than I'm making right now. You're not interested in God's glory. Not at all. You hear me? I could lay around a pool table and make more money on the side than I can in here working a job, coming home with the financial pressure. Are you looking at me? Listen to me. I'd rather deal with the burden and the pressure of fighting bills every day of my life, looking to find a way to make biscuits and gravy and drink water on the sideline, than I had to give into the pressure and lose the glory. I feel the Holy Ghost talking to me. I'm going to go a little different than I anticipated. When Moses saw the glory of God, you'll find nowhere where he ever went back keeping sheep. He went to leading sheep. When you really get a glimpse of the glory of God, little things that hang James Johnson up won't hang him up no more. Come on here. Little things that hold Brother Terry at bay. Little bit of spending money. Little mad money is what we call it. It won't hang him up no more. Because he just seemed to let that madness go and keep the goodness of God. Amen. Are you hearing me in this house? I want to say this very carefully. And I want to say it very kindly and very lovingly. As I know how to say it. You're not half as interested in the glory of God when you can think about everything else but God. I told a man some time ago, Brother Billy. I told a man some time ago, he made a statement to me. I'm going to lose you with this. He made a statement to me. He told me. He said, I can make more money in one afternoon selling drugs than I can working all week. And him telling me he's saved. I said, mister, you've lost your ever-loving mind. Matter of fact, first and foremost, above all, there's no association between me and my old life anymore. Matter of fact, when I see my old life, it brings condemnation on my heart. It makes me say, God, keep that away. I don't want it to take away what I've already got. I don't want to lose what you gave me already. When I pass by certain places that I have stopped in, I look back over my shoulder and I say, God, thank you for taking me out of there. I'm glad I see you now. I'm glad even on our coldest church service, I still can sense and feel a little bit of the glory of God. It may not be like I like it. It may not be where I want it. I'll be shouting right now as high as I want to shout, but at least I'm not hung in the piles of sin. I'm standing with the glory and the power of God can get a hold of my life. Woo! It's nowhere near in comparison to the glory of God. Not only is it drugs, not only is it alcohol, but it's that same old lifestyle, sir. Same old lifestyle, ma'am, of cold and indifferent that you keep resorting back to over and over again. Hear me well. When Moses reached the place, after he'd come away from that burning bush, I'll never forget this. When he came away from that burning bush, I picture this in my mind. I've always had. I've looked at Moses as he walked by the sheep, as if the sheep would look and say, where's he going? I looked at him as he walked up to Pharaoh, to Jethro, his father-in-law, and he said, I'm leaving. And I'm taking everything that belongs to me and I'm out of here. But where are you going, son? I'm going over to the Goshen where them people are that are weeping and wailing and they're crying. For the past 400 years they've been wailing and said God's going to descend and deliver. Well, God just visited me out there by the bush. I saw the glory of God and God told me to go where they're at. Are you hearing me in this house? When you get to the place you're hungry for God, it doesn't matter if it's in a matchbox or in Taj Mahal. It's where God is. That's where I want to be. You help me here if you like. Somewhere or another, the glory of God, Brother Ed, healed all the failures that Moses remembered. Did you hear me? Somewhere or another, out of that burning bush, he healed all the failures of what tormented him. What was it, preacher? It was a glimpse of that glory. It's what he saw when he looked over there and he saw a bush burning, but it wasn't consumed. But then all of a sudden he heard a voice that didn't have lips to it. He said, take your shoes off, son. You're standing on holy ground. And God began to lay out commandments unto Moses. And Moses said, yes, Lord, I'll go. I'm not able to talk, but if you'll send me somebody to talk. But when God got done, Moses was asking, Lord, when I get there, who do I tell them sent me? He said, tell them the I Am sent you. So here goes a man with 3.5 million people sitting there waiting on the outskirts, waiting for a deliverer to come.
And He knew, are you hearing me? He knew some of them was going to remember what He used to be. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching tonight. Some of them was going to remember what He used to be. But when He walked in that camp and they said, "Who sent you?" He said, "The I Am sent me." Had settled the matter. Had done away with it. Why was it? Because God had just put His stamp of approval on it. But this is the other part. You can't always live on what you got from the bush. You sometimes need a cave experience. Well, I see God and I pray it again. Show it to me. Let me feel it again. Let me see it again. I got to have it another time.
He sees the glory of God. And in that time of seeing the glory of God, he looks back over a different attitude. A different disposition gets a hold of Moses. He looks around and he sees the children of Israel. I want you to hear me. I was reading the Bible, studying on this. Moses is a bad pastor. When I say bad, I'm not talking about bad as in bad. I'm talking about he was a tough dude. You think sitting under me, some of y'all act like, man, he's hard. Oh, no. No, I just ain't even graduated from romper room yet. Moses come off that mountain. He saw them messed up with the children. Israel messed up with a golden calf. He got mad. The Bible said Moses' anger, what? Waxed hot. He said it was so hot. He said it was boiling. He come off the top of that mountain. He looked over there. He saw the people was naked. And he looked over there and saw that golden calf and them laying around committing fornication and adultery. That's what you generally do when you worship something else besides God. Maybe that's why some of you battle lust, because you're not worshiping Him enough. That's why you keep battling lust over and over and over. Come on here. Son, I just hit a stump. Ooh! Notice in the book of 1 Kings, when Elijah went over there and top of Mount Carmel, he said, "You call all of your prophets together." And he said, "We'll put a test here. If Baal be God, let him be God. And if God be God, we'll let him be God." Some people think the best way to get a hold of God is strip the clothes off. Anytime you get a hold of a false religion, it's also going to tell you, sister, you can split that skirt. You can wear it a little lower and not worry about it. You can wear it a little tighter. No condemnation whatsoever. Why? I'm worshiping something besides God. Come on, talk back to me now. Anytime you're worshiping something besides, are you listening to me? Anytime you're worshiping something besides God, it always involves filth. So when Elijah stood there and saw them, they had done stripped their clothes off before Baal. You would call me crazy, wouldn't you, if I took this little pocket knife I got in my pocket out and started cutting myself, wouldn't you? What the first thing you'd do? Lost my mind. Would you run and try to get the pocket knife away from me before I kill myself? Huh? They didn't. They just stood back and said, "Well, if it's him that's got to have it, let him have it. Maybe God's going to move. Maybe Baal's fixing to talk." They just stood back and watched crazies go crazy. But then all of a sudden, when Moses come out of that mountain and he saw them naked, the Bible said they were naked. They were naked, worshiping the false god. Come on here. They done traded the glory of God for a false god. They looked around. Moses rebuked the people. And this, he didn't just rebuke them. He took that god, he beat it down, the Bible said, and ground it to powder. Threw it on the water. And then marched every one of them up and told them to start drinking. Some of you ain't listening to me. Give me that water. If I just took a handful of dirt in this and said, here, drink. You want to drink? Huh? You know why they did what Moses said do? I'm going to tell you why they did what Moses said to do. It's because they saw one time where God used him to destroy a slew of them. Moses come off that mountain with the commandments of God. The glory of God was on Moses. They were too scared to do anything but drink. Man, if we don't drink, he's going to kill us. And about that time after they got done drinking that water, he stopped and he looked at every one of them. He said, who is on the Lord's side? Oh, I wish I had time to preach what I want to preach right here. But about that time, the Bible said the sons of Levi come over and stood next to Moses. Come y'all, come right here. Come right here. The sons of Levi stood over there next to Moses. And when they stood over there next to Moses, they said, we're for you. You know, that's generally the ones that does the church cleaning. That's generally the ones that mow the grass. That's generally the ones that says, don't bother me to mop the floor. I'll mop. I'll take out the garbage. I'll visit the sick. I'll reach out and help somebody else. It's them that are willing to service. The sons of Levi was the ones that God, because their father had a heart to serve God, and that heart passed from their father into his sons, and God said, out of that tribe, I'm going to in turn make my priesthood an everlasting priesthood with them. Why? Because they had a heart to work for God. So when it all was said and done, when Moses asked the question, who's on the Lord's side? It was all automatic response. They didn't hesitate. They said, we are. And not only that, Brother Billy, but Moses turned and looked and he said, every one of you sons of Levi, he said, gird you up a sword about you. And he said, you go throughout this camp and those that's in on the Lord's side, destroy him. Husband, wife, companion, children, you destroy him. He destroyed them. You'll find at the end of that 32nd chapter where he begins to weep again. And he says, I'm going to go before the Lord because you've sinned a great sin. Yeah. And he said, I'm going to go before God. The people never heard Moses pray this. I love this. He goes before the Lord and he weeps and he cries. And he says, oh Lord, he said, have mercy on them. And he said, but if you choose not to have mercy on them, don't have it on me either. I mean, the people he just made drink calf dust where he ground it into the powder, poured it out upon them. He falls down and he weeps and he says, oh God. And what was he literally saying? He said, God, if I could get them to see your glory one more time, it'll heal their backsliding. It'll heal their drifting and falling away. Preacher, what's going to stop the flood tide of sin in our church? What's going to stop men and women from wanting to backslide? The glory of God. That's what's going to stop it from happening. That's what's going to make men look back and say, I need God. I don't want to go unless God goes with us. want you to stand with me all over this house. Moses said, I love this part. Moses says, Lord, I know you said I found grace in your sight. He said, I know also that you called me by my name. He told me to be your servant. He said, this I know. He said, but there's one thing I do need to know. He said, how am I and thy people going to know you're with us? He said, lest we see your glory. And the Lord said, Moses, I'm going to do it because you asked. And he said, I want to see the glory of God. I'm sorry, it's such poor preaching. But I'm wondering about that straddle that you got in your mind between the world and the church, between staying committed and dedicated to God and living half-hearted when it wouldn't take much but just the buzzing of a fly to make you backslide. What's it going to take to fix that? The glory of God is what it's going to take to fix it. If you can see the glory of God, mister, you'd be interested in staying with God. I'm reminded, I was reading Friday morning on an airplane. I was sitting on a airplane reading the Bible, and they were two homos sitting over there next to me. My wife was sitting across the aisle from me in the seat directly over from me. I told her, baby, I'm moving somewhere else. She said, oh no. She said, you stay right here with me. I said, no. I said, I ain't sitting here. And she said, you got to sit here. You got to stay here. And I said, I can't. I said, I can't handle it. I was talking loud enough where they could hear me. I'm sick of this mess. Well, I felt like a rooster. I bowed my shoulders back and just bumped up against his and moved him over into his own seat. No questions asked, boy. You understand? I just kind of politely let him know you lean the other direction. Before that plane took off, I reached over there and got my briefcase out of the overhead compartment, put my briefcase in the seat, opened up, flopped my Bible out, and put my briefcase back in the overhead compartment. Old boy looked over there at me. I said, if I got to stay here, there's something staying with me. I said, because there don't even might be problems here in this seat. Oh, you got a problem with that? I'm going to start wondering about you.
Oh, well, you ought not feel that way.
Well, you camp with them. Don't get on with that junk. So I got to reading over there in the book of Matthew. I got to reading where Satan brought Jesus up to that pinnacle. And he showed him all the world. And he said, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give this to you. I got to reading on that and studying on that a little more while we was flying. And I said, God, help us to forever see that the devil's promises are blank checks and they're hollow and they have no power in them whatsoever. You understand? Help us to ever see that the promises of God that the Bible declares are what? Yea and amen. That means settled, done, over with. It's there. If you need it, it's there. The devil always puts an if to one of his promises. Because you know why? He can't fulfill it. He can't back up what he says. So in turn, the Lord looks at him and he says, oh no. He said, it's written, you shall not take the Lord thy God. And he in turn, the Bible said, after all of this, that an angel of the Lord came and ministered unto him. What was it? God came after the testing, showed his glory to his own son. He said, I'm with you. I'll be with you through this. Gethsemane, when he was praying all night long, weeping and wailing and crying. And the Bible said, again, an angel came and ministered unto him. Why did he come to minister to him? He's come to tell him, I'm with you. I'm going to go with you. I'll not leave you. I'll not forsake you. And my glory is not just a cloud. It's not a pillar of fire. But it's a hovering presence that you're going to be able to bump into everywhere you turn. And you're going to realize, I'm there. I'm right there. Anytime you need me, I'm there. So he looks around. And the Lord speaks to Moses and he said, I'm going to do this. He said, but I'm going to put you in the cave and I'm going to hide you. And he said, all you're going to see is my hinder parts. No man's ever looked upon my face and lived. And some of you wondering, saying that the Lord come down in the tent there and spoke to the people. If you understand the study of them scriptures, he didn't come. They didn't see his face. It was just as much of his voice as though it was his face. And when they spoke, they said, don't talk to us no more. We'll hear what Moses has to say. But I'm not going to go on that far. But I'm going this way. You and I can't live without the glory of God. What is that glory, preacher? It is the omnipresence of the Lord. What is that glory? It's the Shekinah of heaven that lives every day with me. What is that glory of God? It's that presence when my world's upside down, He's still holding it. In the palm of His hand. Hallelujah. What is that glory? It's when my nerves would be tore all to pieces. He's holding them together. What is that glory, preacher? It is that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. What is that glory? It is the defense of the church. It's the defense of the people of God. That's what Moses said, Lord. If you go with us, we can make it. But if you don't go, we're going to be swallowed up by the enemy. I want to quit. I need to quit. There's nothing in the world no more important to you, to me, in our life, than a visitation of the Spirit of God. When you have a visitation of the Holy Ghost, to the presence of God. I say it once again, and God stand by me when I say it. Daddy, I don't want to bring up bad memories. God knows I don't. My father, I've talked to his brothers and some of the kin. They said he could run a pool table. Made more money just about it on the weekend than you did working on a job all week. Am I right? I'm not telling you the devil ain't going to try to come to you and tell you, go back. There's something about that glory. When you look at it, you say, I can't go back. Hallelujah for the Holy Ghost. 3.5 years walking with Christ. Saw the dead raised. Saw the miracle, the first miracle of all miracles. The water turned into wine at the marriage of Cana in the Galilee. Saw the dead man's body raised at the city of Nain right at the gate. Peter stood there knowing the autopsy schedule of the days back then. I'm not trying to be rude, but I want to tell you about the miracle of the marriage, of the miracle of the raising of that boy at the city of Nain. Back under the law, back under Jesus' time, when they would raise them from the dead, when the Spirit of God moved upon Christ and He laid hands on that boy, raised him from the dead. He didn't just raise him from the dead. It is an old custom that they would literally go in and cut them open, take their heart, their guts, their intestines, everything, their lungs, their liver, their spleen, their pancreas, everything, every organ in their body was ripped out and their chest was hollow. And they would pack it slap full of herbs and spices and all kinds of stuff. And they would keep it from decaying. That was their embalming. But they realized that there was something that they did not know how to do. And that was to stop the decaying of the brain. So they came up with a tool with a hook on it. And they would run it up the nostril. And I'm not trying to be rude. And they would reach in there and pull that tissue out. And then they would pack that brain cavity slap full of all of them spices. That's how they embalmed in Jesus' day. But when Jesus walked over there to that city where there was a weeping woman and a boy laying in the coffin with no guts, no heart, no brain. And He says, "Son, get up." And He raises him up. A man with no brain, no heart, no lungs, no liver, no intestines, no nothing. He stands up. He stands straight up. You ever wonder about that scripture where the Bible said, "And Jesus gave him unto his mother"? I'll tell you why, there wasn't nobody else there to give it when the boy got up. They scared, slapped to death. They took off and ran away from him. And Jesus, the Bible said, delivered him unto his mother. Do you understand the miracle? When He spoke for the first time, He had a new brain to talk with. When He took His first breath, they were brand new lungs. You ain't understanding this, are you? So John chapter 6 comes when 70 walks away from Him. And He turns and looks at His own disciples and He said, "Will you go away also?" All of a sudden, it's like an instant recorder hits reverse. He starts replaying in the mind of Peter all over again. He sees all of this and he comes like a million miles an hour. And he spontaneously steps up and he says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? I don't have nowhere else to go. I don't have nobody else to look to but to you." That's when you're hung on the glory. That's when you're addicted to the glory. Is when you see no other alternative but staying with God. Did you hear what I just said? That's when you're addicted to the glory of God. When you can look at your own life and say, "I don't know nothing about it. I don't care to go back to it. I don't want nothing to do with it." First things, come to the piano. That I could say that I don't want to get too far into. I'm 40 years old. My mom and dad got saved when I was a baby. So I don't know what it's like to see Daddy come in drunk. I don't know what it's like to see Daddy come in bent over with a hangover. But I will tell you this. I do know what it's like to come up in a home when I have seen the glory of God. And it's let me know who else to return to. So when Moses comes out of Egypt, out of the house of Pharaoh, he's out on the backside of the desert. He's keeping Jethro's flock. And the whole time he's saying, "There's got to be a better life than this. I've got to get above failure and defeat and struggle. I've got to get above it. There's somewhere that I can live, where I can live above all of my haunting failures. And about that time, the Spirit of God shows up in a burning bush. And from that moment on, when Moses caught a glimpse of God's glory, you never hear Moses talk anymore, Brother Mickey, about an old Egyptian buried in the sand. You don't hear him talk no more about what I have been or what I've done. All you hear is about Moses and the glory of God. Oh, there's been other failures, but I'm not going to go into them. But I will tell you this. When it got time for Moses to die, he was happy dying alone. And he was happy with angels attending his burial. I believe I feel the Holy Ghost right here. You can say what you like. You can prove whatever you want to prove, but you ain't going to change my mind. I'm stuck. But I don't believe God just let Moses die on that mountain all alone. The pastor of all pastors. A man after God's own heart. A man that bore more characteristics of Christ than any other man living. The man, when Moses said right there in Exodus 32, when he said, Lord, if you don't blot their out their iniquity, he said, just wipe me out too. That's what Jesus literally said when he died on the cross. I'm here, not of my own accord, but I'm here because of all of them. I'm here because of all of them. I'm here because I love them. And all of a sudden, nothing else said, nothing else done. I really believe that when it got time for Moses to die, the Bible said his strength was not weakened. His eyesight wasn't dim. I don't know how far that city was. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I don't know how far that city was from where he was at. But he was up high enough where he could see it. He said, I may not physically be able to walk into that land of Canaan right now. I'm going to lay down and sleep. And there's going to come a day when that land of Canaan is going to come alive. And I'm going to walk into that land. Hallelujah. Preacher, what are you trying to say? You'll go further with God, Brother Rob, in your ministry. You'll go further with God in your daily living, Brother Terry. When all the little trademarks of your old life become despising for you to even look at. I want to see the man that God wants to see. I want to comb the hair of the man that God can be pleased with in the morning. I want to stand there in front of that mirror and I want to say, today is the day that the Lord hath made and I will be glad and rejoice therein. Can I just have a little congregation participation here?